Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have gathered their COVID-19 task force. They started this last week. We have a few people from previous administrations, one from the Obama administration and a few from the Clinton and Bush administrations. Biden has also gone out of his way to hire two people from the Trump administration. Those two people are Rick Bright and Luciano Borio. Rick Bright is of note because he worked as he was the former head of the Biomedical Advanced Research and Development Authority. He had a falling out of sorts with Trump over what he felt like was an attempt to push the chloroquine and hydrochloroquine as therapeutics for COVID-19. He just did not agree with that at all. As a result, he said that he was moved to the National Institutes of Health and he was given a more limited role. Now, his job was supposed to be to expand and improve testing and capacity, and he feels like it should be a national testing strategy. However, when he got there, it wasn't just a limited role. He said when he got there in September, he was given absolutely no work. As a result, that's why he left the administration. Now, I do think oftentimes we give people who leave the Trump administration flack for leaving because we think that, well, you should stay and be the adult in the room. But these are the types of things that happen to them, so I can't really blame them. Imagine you have all this expertise, you have all this knowledge, you're in a crisis and you can help, and they're basically telling you don't help. And not giving you any ability to help, you would want to leave too. It doesn't even matter how much money you're actually getting paid. As we go on, we'll talk about the other members of the task force. We'll just start with them by names. You have Ezekiel Emanuel, Atul Gawande, Michael T. Osterholm, Eric Goosby, Celine R. Gounder, Julie Morita, Lois Pace, Robert Rodriguez, and Rebecca Katz. As I was looking them up, the vast majority of them are medical experts in some capacity. They've either done research or they have actually been doctors working in hospitals. Most of their expertise centers around infectious diseases, and including diseases like HIV and AIDS. Just of note, as I was just looking them up randomly, Ezekiel Emanuel, the first thing that came to mind is he wrote an article titled, I don't want to live past 75. That's going to be, when January hits, that's going to be the one thing of note about him. And I have a feeling in that article that they're going to try to use that as a talking point against him and basically say that he's trying to kill grandma, which he's not. He just personally doesn't want to live past 75 because he doesn't see any benefit in it. All he sees is decline. Me personally, I disagree only because I've seen people who are 75 years old doing still out there and still being active, not just, you know, living their lives, but really out there being active, like running. I remember there was this documentary about this woman in her 70s and she was a bodybuilder and she was sculpted. So I want to be like those people when I grow up. So Ezekiel Emanuel can miss me with the BS. As we go on, the other people that I noticed was Lois Pace. According to her biography, she's described as a leader who has worked on the ground in more than 15 countries delivering health programs and mobilizing advocates. Currently, she serves as the president and executive director of the Global Health Council. So that's a pretty good pick. You actually have someone who understands what it's like to deal with logistics on the ground and how to get programs up and running. I don't know what capacity she really worked in, but the point is that she saw how operations needed to work, like literally on the ground in counties and cities in remote areas. So I think that's a good pick. The other person of note honestly, they're not really of note. It turns out when I looked up Robert Rodriguez, as impressive as his resume might be, I could not find anything about Robert Rodriguez. I got everybody else except Robert Rodriguez from UCSF. Even when I typed in UCSF, I had to scroll a little bit before I even found the picture of him. But the point is, apparently Robert Rodriguez has the most generic name out there. The other individual on his panel, she's going to be one of the three co-chairs, is Marcella Nunez Smith. According to her biography, she focuses on research promoting health and healthcare equity for structurally marginalized populations with an emphasis on supporting healthcare workforce diversity and development. So I think that's also a pretty good pick. You have an individual who is going to be one of your co-chairs who understands marginalized issues and why certain people from certain groups, whether that's racial groups, ethnic groups, or just economic groups, aren't getting proper access to healthcare. So you have somebody on the board who does understand that, and hopefully, particularly because this is going to be a national strategy that they're going to roll out, hopefully by having someone like that there, she'll be able to spot where the issues are going to pop up, whether they're in rural America, poor America, Black America, Hispanic America, you know, wherever they're going to pop up. So overall, I think those are good picks. Now, it looks like when the Biden administration gets started that you are going to have a national mask mandate. This is not anything that's going to be like federal law. The purpose of it is to just get these states on board with passing statewide mask mandates. So they're going to try to convince the governors to do this. They're going to have a tough time of it because even now the governors are resistant to do mask mandates in the middle of the country, even though they're COVID cases are going up every day. They're also going to help create more consistent guidelines for each state. So we're not having this kind of hodgepodge reaction. You have some states who kind of follow each other and have similar guidelines, and other states just change, do whatever they want. So they just want more consistent guidelines that every state can implement and be happy with. They are also going to start up a public health corps, so there will be a jobs opportunity there. But you are going to have to work in the healthcare field, and I don't know if they're going to get that many recruits given that it is COVID, and it is a health risk in and of itself. So, but we'll see how that works out. They are also going to focus on PPE and vaccine distribution. So again, the objective seems to be about getting the logistics of COVID down and making sure that you have access to various healthcare services and access to PPE when you need it. I imagine that they're going to be focused on hospitals when it comes to PPE, and also making sure that people, when the vaccine eventually shows up, that it's properly distributed to everyone across the country and that everyone has access to it. Doesn't mean everyone's going to take it, but everyone should at least be able to have access to the vaccine. There is some criticism of the people that they've gathered. According to Peter Hotez, he's basically saying they're all from the Bay Area. And he's saying, quote, "Who is going to be the field marshal or supreme allied commander who goes into the middle of the country and gets this done?" That's a valid critique, I think. There is going to be, the middle of the country tended to be very, very red. And given the issues that occurred in D.C. on Saturday, I'm not entirely sure that there's going to be a meeting in the middle. The governors from that region in middle America don't seem to be intent on having a consistent COVID strategy in their states. They're going on the belief that people are going to do the best that they feel is for themselves. And we're seeing that they're not. They're just not doing that. So that is a valid concern when you're talking about the middle of the country, because they are really popping off right now. The coast got hit hard, but they got their stuff semi under control and they're constantly working on it. The middle of the country is where things are really, really heating up. I don't know what they're going to do about that. I don't even know if getting someone from the middle of the country would have mattered, because you have this very clear-cut desire to not listen to anyone who's an expert in anything. There's this constant idea in America that even though you have no education in XYZ, that you can do just as good a job as they can, and it's becoming annoying to me. It's obvious you can't. I am not a plumber, right? I cannot, you know, work on my own pipes. Could I learn? Sure. but I don't want to learn, right? And me learning is going to take literally years of time in order to do a decent enough job. So I can't sit up here and say that I can do just as good as the guy who gave me the quote for the plumbing job. It's the same thing. You cannot sit there and say you know just as much or can do just as well or you know better than somebody who's been working in infectious disease control for 10 years. Like, you just don't. But you have this idea in America that I can do it just as good as somebody who's been doing this work for 10 years. And until people kind of humble themselves in that regard, you're not going to get much compliance, I think, from that region. Like, it's going to take people literally dying around them for them to figure this out. And it's unfortunate, but I just think it's the truth. That's the Biden task force. See you later.